Today we start the final chapter of Paul's letter to the Roman Christians. And though this chapter has 27 verses, more than half of these verses are acknowledgments by Paul and greetings to his friends and to his partners in the ministry. Now, we might consider just skipping these 16 verses, because in these verses there's really no theology, and there's really not any over-instruction in the verses. They're just Paul's kind and appreciative words that he gives to his friends. But the Bible says all Scripture is inspired, and it's all useful and helpful and valuable. And Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, is no exception to that. If for no other reason, we should look at the 16 verses as a reminder to us of how important encouragement is, and gratitude, and affirmation in the Christian life. I'd like to do three things this morning. The first thing I'd like to do is read these 16 verses. Just read them with really no comment. Just let the words of Paul speak for themselves. In these verses, he speaks words where he mentions people who have been helpful to him over the years in his ministry or in his personal life. The second thing I'd like to do is look at a verse in the Bible that provides some guidelines for encouraging one another, should we decide to do that. And third, I've gathered some written encouragements that I've received myself over the past 21 years of ministry here at Grace Church. Though I've been in ministry now for 30 years, I only started saving these in 1993. And I wish I had started 9 years earlier. But, you know, better late than never. So when I would get an encouragement, and these are all written encouragements, these are not verbal or on the phone or emails, these are handwritten. And when I would get one, obviously I would read it and I would be encouraged by it. And then I would drop it in a box and it would stay there. From time to time, I would take them out and read them to be encouraged. But they've accumulated over the years, and I want to share some of them with you this morning. So let's pray as we do that, okay? Our Father, we thank you for encouragement. We thank you for the privilege of being an encourager, and we thank you for the great blessing of being encouraged by others. I pray as we look at this last letter or last chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans that we would not only be encouraged ourselves, but we would get a better understanding of how encouragement works and why it does work and why it encourages those around us and brothers and sisters in Christ and those who labor in ministry, those who struggle, and on we could go. So teach us from your word through Paul's words as he writes his friends in Rome. Help us to gain insight from it. We ask it through Christ our Lord. Amen. So if you have your Bible with you, if you want to turn to Romans chapter 16, on the sermon notes page there, it has the entire 16 verses printed out for you. You might just want to look on that. And hopefully I pronounce all the names right. Some of them are challenging, but I think I've got them. So Romans 16, starting at verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon or servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles. and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphema and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who were with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. So Paul is clearly appreciative of the service and the ministry and the support he's received from various people. But notice he doesn't keep his appreciation to himself. He told them. And because he wrote it down, others now read it some 2,000 years later. Some, he says, risked their lives for him. Others, he mentions, that he had a close friendship with, special relationship with. He also mentions some seemingly small things, yet they were important enough for him to include in his letter. In some cases, he says, people worked hard for him. Others were cases where he didn't even specify what they did. He just says they've been a friend. Others, he simply greets. Paul was encouraged by these folks because they encouraged him. He sends them encouragement because they were encouragement to him. He thought they should know this, so he tells them so. It's meaningful for Paul to say it, and it's meaningful for them to hear it. Now, you may or may not know that encouraging one another is a biblical command. It's not optional in the Christian life. It's mandatory in the Christian life. So if it's mandatory, it's a good idea that we know how to do it right. Would you agree? Of course, even a lame attempt at encouragement is better than no attempt at all. But there is a preferred way to do it. And I think Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 shows us the preferred way. Now, I realize this verse is about things we should think about. And Paul says that. These are things we should think about. But if these are things we should think about, then I would suggest that they form a good basis for encouragement as well. Let me show you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So, if you appreciate something about someone, or appreciate something that someone has done, an encouragement would be in order. But before you do it, consider these things. First, whatever is true. Whatever is true. You first want to be sure that what you're about to say is true, or what you're about to write is true. When you say something to someone as an encouragement that's not true, it's probably one or two things working here. Either it's flattery or it's manipulation. You must want something from them, or you just want to make them feel good. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to make someone feel good. That's encouraging too. But someone is encouraged by what we say that's true. That's not just flattering. Nor do we want to encourage someone with the intent to manipulate. So you come up to me and you say, Pastor Sam, you have such a lovely singing voice. And I am immediately suspicious of them. And I think, this person has clearly not heard me sing before, or this person wants something from me. I wonder what it is. So if you want to encourage someone, encourage them with something that's true. It's so much better that way. Truth will build them up. And that's why you encourage. Second, share something that's noble. Noble means that a person has a quality that's worthy of respect. Remember Romans 13? Way back in Romans 13, verse 7. Give to everyone what you owe them. If honor, then honor. Third, share something that's right. Right refers to what is upright and just and conforms to God's standard. So encourage someone with what God would approve. Does that make sense? Fourth, whatever is pure. This has the meaning of wholesomeness. We don't encourage someone when we share something that's inappropriate. I think this also implies that it's genuine. When we encourage, it's genuine. Encouragement is best when it's sincere. And you know, people know. They figure it out. They can tell if you're being genuine or not. So be genuine. When you believe something about someone, tell them what's true and what's right, and be genuine. Don't fake it, and don't be pretentious. Fifth, encourage them through what is lovely. Lovely is something that promotes peace rather than conflict, and should be something that's agreeable, something amiable, that doesn't create conflict. When you tell someone, when you encourage them, and it immediately causes conflict, that's not encouraging. That's not to say that there's not a time when we admonish one another, but let's not confuse the two. Encouragement should be what promotes peace and harmony and fellowship. Sixth, share what's admirable. This refers to what is attractive and meets high standards. When you discover something about someone that's admirable, tell them so. It doesn't even matter if you barely know the person. If you've made the observation, if you've made the discovery, tell them. Encourage them with what you've seen. It's good to encourage good qualities in others. So here we have six guidelines for encouragement. But we can feel free to use our own judgment on the basis of what, and this Paul kind of wraps this up here, on the basis of what is excellent or praiseworthy. Someone has an excellent quality, then encourage them in that quality. Someone has a quality that's worthy of praise, then encourage them in that quality. This should help us in the days ahead when we want to follow the biblical command to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 summarizes it pretty well. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Pretty clear. Pretty straightforward. This brings me to the third thing that I'd like to do today. As I mentioned, since 1993... whenever I have received and written encouragement of some kind, I have thrown it into a box, and they've accumulated over the years, as I will show you in a moment. Now, I haven't kept everything that I've received. I have to tell you that. Some of the things I shredded because I have a very high standard. I don't keep hate mail, nasty grams, cards and letters that are just rants from unhappy people or just whiny complaints. Right in the shredder. I only keep things that are encouraging and that I sense are genuine and sincere. I don't have any desire to keep non-genuine encouragements. They're pretty much meaningless. Now, I'm not suggesting that I don't listen to those other things or that I don't read those things. I do. But I don't keep them in my box of encouragements because I'm afraid they might pollute or corrupt the other things in there. So, let me bring them over, okay? Don't go away. So, these are the encouragements I've gotten over the past 21 years. And it used to be everything was in just one box, okay? But I went through them. It took a long time to go through them. And I took the ones from this box that I thought I would share with you, okay? And then I started going through them, and, you know, we would have been here till 3 in the afternoon. So I had to call the list or the number down even smaller, smaller and smaller numbers. And, you know, it's 20 after 10 right now, so we have about 10, 15, 20. We have about 20 minutes or so. Do you have any place to go the next 20 minutes? So I'll read as many as I can, and I will be mentioning names, by the way. And I feel it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. So I only mention it to a couple of you because I happen to see you, and you gave me permission to share these things. So let me, I got two divisions here. I know that surprises you. This is the sort of humorous light pile, and these are the more serious, heartfelt, and some of them I can't read. They're too personal, and they're too heartfelt. But I don't have anything in these two stacks that can't be read. So hopefully I won't get through and go, yikes, wasn't supposed to read that one. So here are a couple of light ones. These were from children's Sunday school class. I have no idea how long ago. Some of these things might even predate 1993. I just know that the first date that appears on most of them is 1993. There's a few of them in 91, but most of them are from 93 on. So these were, I think it was maybe Pastor Appreciation Sunday. I don't really know. But kids were supposed to write on them. So this is one from somebody. I won't mention who it was, but it was a child, probably 6 years old. And all they said was, "I like it when the bald man leads the choruses." And I have no idea who they're talking about, but maybe you do. And this says, they fill in the blank. "I like it best. The thing I like best about the church is all the friendly people. I like it when we sing Majesty and in moments like these," so that can tell you how long ago that was. "One thing I wonder about is what God looks like." And then at the last part it says, "Your friend," and then you sign it. But it says, "Your friend" is crossed out and has "Your daughter, Christina." So that's that. Now, there's actually a thing called Boss's Day. Those of you who work in an office know there's a Boss's Day. So I got this card, Boss's Day, many years ago, and I know because I look at the people that signed it, and none of them are even in the office anymore. So on Boss's Day, we'd like to pay you a compliment. You sure got a great bunch of people working for you. And the people that signed it were Deb McIsaac, Joanne Bell, Mel Plant. Remember those days? Weren't they fun? And Melinda Wright. So none of those ladies are in the office anymore, but they were at one time. So here's something. Okay, I guess I came in one Saturday morning to work, and Joanne Bell was here, so she wrote me this note. Boy, we must have not even crossed paths, because she says, "Sam, I don't have any work for you to do today. May I suggest you stop and go home and do some of the suggested activities on the front of this card?" And there's all kinds of fun things on the front of the card. "You need to gear up for 1995. I'm not even sure why I had to gear up for 1995. So rest while you can. And then she has a little P.S. However, if you find you must work on Saturday, you can do my work in the pink folder on the right in the right-hand drawer of my desk. Joanne was always very resourceful. And that's an example. So, this is the birthday card. I have no idea. Well, okay, 1997. So, I was definitely younger then. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by sending you a card with a typical birthday age gag. You're too smart. You'd see it coming. After all, you weren't born yesterday. And then inside it says, obviously. And nice little sentiment, but I won't read that. So, okay, this is a congratulations card. And it was, I assume, some pastor appreciation month. And this one was actually from one family, from the Fisher family. And they all the kids wrote something. And let me see. No, I'll read this one. Dear Sam and Marion, this isn't exactly the most spiritual congratulatory card. And I sometimes wonder if you wished you had a different calling because you have a tough job. But the Lord has gifted you to lead in numerous ministries this ragged flock. And our family has been blessed. Thank you for all that you do and for the gift of your friendship. We can only hope to be planning another surprise. Oh, it was a surprise birthday party in another 20 years. So that was Sandy. Thank you, Sandy. And then years ago, I think they'd only been coming maybe a couple or 3 years, I'm not sure, but their daughter, Hannah, we both went outside the church. This is back in the old building, of course, and it had snowed. It's quite a bit of snow on the ground. And, you know, I was a pitcher. I loved to throw any round objects. So I made some snowballs and started tossing them around. And I threw one at Hannah, and so she returned the favor, and I guess I was making another snowball, and I turned around, and as soon as I turned around, a snowball hit me right in the face. I couldn't open my eye for quite a while. Well, Sandy got all over her, like, I can't believe you threw a snowball at the pastor. Yeah, but he threw it first. And back and forth we went. So Hannah, here's what she said on this surprise birthday party. So, I'd like to apologize yet again for hitting you in the face with a snowball. About 10 years ago to the day, she said, it was a snowball full of respect. Of course, she says. Thanks for serving at Grace. And then oh, yeah. Okay, this is from Zach. Thanks for all you've put into the church ministry over the years and beyond. The parties at your place, movies, making boat dreams. I think he's talking about when my son got a boat given to him. The worst day of his life. He couldn't figure out what to do with it. So he kept it at the Fraley Farm for a year. And then he ended up having some guy come and tow it. Never even saw the water. So anyway, long story. So he says, P.S., I never even heard about the famous snowball fight between Pastor Sam and Hannah. Must have been epic. But I thought I was the rec and leisure major. Anyway, that's from the Fishers, all of them. Very nice. I think it's the only card I ever got from an entire family. Okay. You're in the palm of his hand. Oh, okay. Oh, I see. This is when I was out with my back. So this is the Get Well card. And it's from, remember Vance and Betty Lou Rich? Well, apparently, their granddaughter was here with them, 7-year-old, and used to have the things in the pew racks for the kids, and we had encouragement cards. I think that's why there are more encouragement cards in the old days, because we had them. But she just left a note that her name was Jenna Rich, and she just said, "Dear Pastor, I don't live here. I just hope you get better." So there's that. Here's another get well wish, a card that came while I was on my back. And this is from Doris Smith. You remember Doris Smith? Great, great encourager. So she sent me a couple of cartoons, glued to it, and I'll just read the first one. At 6'2", my niece is constantly on the receiving end of the usual comments about tall people. One day, a woman at least a foot shorter asked, "Do you play basketball?" My niece gazed down at the woman for a moment before replying, "No. Do you play miniature golf?" And it's just a get well card, okay? Now, I have a growth group, as you probably know, and one Sunday I was away, it was around Easter time. I didn't miss Easter, but it was like the week before Easter, I guess. And so my growth group got 30 little plastic eggs. And in each of the eggs, and relax, I'm not going to read all these. I might not read any of them, but in each plastic egg was a little, like, encouragement, like that, okay? You have a great sense of humor. Thank you for your love for God and passion for the ministry. You're an inspiration to us and all that. And so they put one of those in each of the eggs, and then they hid them all over my office. And so I had to find them, and of course, being melancholic like I am, I had to find out from Ellen Fuqua how many there were, so I would know if there were still some lurking about that I hadn't found. So that was fun. Turning 60 is something we all must face sooner or later. You sooner, me later. Thank you, Joanne. Sorry, just had to point that out. She said more than that. And this is a card, you know, some cards are say so much, you don't even have to open them. This is an Irish blessing, and it just says, "When I count my blessings, I count you twice." Pretty good, huh? Yeah. It is. So this is probably the shortest encouragement I ever got. It's from Scott Taylor, and he says, "Sam, great message Sunday. That's it." Man, a few words. Still works. Now, the pastor, the senior pastor that preceded me, did not use the pulpit. So he would just walk around. He was a professor, and he would just walk around, and we barely even had a pulpit. And so this one was built, and when I became the senior pastor, I used the pulpit, you know, just the way I was trained. And so someone was so encouraged by that, they just sent an encouragement card, and they said, I don't even know who it was, they just said, "Thank you for using the pulpit." You know, and it was affirming for me that I was doing the right thing. And this, remember the Ebers? Yeah, remember? Melissa Ebers, Tim Ebers. This like goes back to like 92, so obviously I have some older than 93. This is from their son, John. "Dear Pastor Sam, I really liked your sermon. It is helping me understand God. I loved your joking. You ought to do them every day. I hope to see you next week." Love, John Ebers. All righty, let me see. All right, so Ellen Fuqua is kind of famous for her brownies. So she sent me this card. I don't know the occasion. But she says, "Sam, thank you for another year of leadership, friendship, humor, and teaching. We appreciate you as a pastor and friend. These aren't my usual super chocolate brownies, but I thought you might manage to force them down." And I did manage to do that. Okay. couple of more serious ones? Okay. So you remember Maureen Thomas? She was secretary here for a number of years, and at one point she wanted to go to what they call the Indispensable Assistant Seminar. Julie, I think you might have even gone on that with her. Anyway, so she just sent the card showing her appreciation for you know, allowing her to go. And then enclosed in the card, this is only Maureen would do this, she enclosed her certificate of attendance. I think to, like, prove that she actually had gone there and hadn't gone to, like, Hawaii or something. So, anyway. All right, this is nice. Dear Pastor Sam, this was in 1995. Thanks for being our pastor and such a steadying influence when life gets bumpy. We appreciate your steadfastness, your excellent messages, your understanding in touchy situations with the church. I have no idea what she means by that. Your friendliness, your care, and concern for each of us in the congregation means a lot to us to have you as our senior pastor. May the Lord bless you real good as you continue to minister to us here at Grace. May it be a long, long time. And it's from Ken and Doris Davis. And, you know, Ken's gone now, but Doris is still quite here. Doris here today? No, okay. Well, that's too bad. Okay. Dear Sam, please forgive me for being so tardy with this note. I so appreciated your visit and chat while I was at Tenbrook Commons. Not only that, but coming on my birthday and bearing gifts. I've already enjoyed the chocolates and will use the Panera gift as a special treat. My church family came to visit and pray with me at that very busy time of year. The Lord has and has been very good to me. Attending service on December 23rd and Christmas Eve was so special. So good to be back in the office. Blessings. And that's from Shirley Valentine. So thank you, Shirley. This one just says, thanks a lot. And it's people in my growth group. I don't even know, again, the occasion. But my favorite one is from Marcia. Comment. They all commented. She said, as long as you lead a growth group, I'll be there. So that's sweet. All right. How are we doing? Yeah, wow. Where's the time going? Yeah, this is nice. Oh, this is on my 20th. Anniversary of being at the church. Sam, 20 years, wow. How did you ever put up with us for all this time? You must be up for sainthood. But seriously, it's been an absolute honor to know you and see what God has done through you. Love always, Donna and Hugh Greer. We used to do Teacher Appreciation Night. This goes way, way back to the old building. In the spring, the children would invite their teachers, and we'd bring them in for a night. We had tons of desserts, and we would do music and have fun. And it was my chance to, like, quiz the teachers. So I always did trivia. And then when they got the answers right, we would give them a gift that had been donated from the community. And then some of the gifts were really nice. So this is from one of the teachers. I got, I think, two or three of these, and there's another one in here. But just as this was in June 12, 1995. Dear Pastor Rodenheiser, I was so pleased to be invited to Teacher Appreciation Night, and I would like to thank you for all the thoughtful planning and hard work that went into such a lovely evening. In 21 years of teaching, I have never been treated in such a meaningful way. I felt touched and left with enough positive energy to last another 21 years. Your kindness is much appreciated. You only need one of these for years. Keeps you going. All right. And this is a really, really lovely note from Alice Littlefield. And so I won't read that right now. I might not get through it. Okay. So this is from a family that moved away, and they heard about my 20-year anniversary. Dear Sam, Bob and I wanted to send a note saying, congratulations to you on your 20th anniversary. How could it possibly be that long? We both clearly remember when you came as an associate pastor. We were there also when you were voted in as senior pastor. Time flies. May God bless you, and we wish you another 20 years. Please don't hesitate to stop in Gettysburg anytime. So you probably know who that is. Now, years ago, I preached a sermon, and in the sermon, I mentioned that one of the real traumas of my childhood is that I was a safety patrol, and I was kicked off the safety patrol because I always talked when I should have been listening. And one too many times, I talked when the teacher was supposed to be talking. And so she basically sent me to the sponsor and told how I had to carry my badge and turn it in. I had to walk through this classroom. This teacher had her desk in the back of the room, so I had to walk down this gauntlet. And it seemed like it took me days to get there. And so I had to turn it in and just, you know, walk back like this. It was awful. And then I had to tell my parents that I'd been kicked off the safety patrols. That didn't help either. But that was a Sunday, and I was telling you about it. The next day, Monday, I came into the office, and somebody had put in my mailbox a little note, and it said, Pastor Sam, I believe your former elementary teacher would want you to have this. God has a way of restoring things we have lost. And it was a safety patrol badge. So, rest assured, I kept that. Okay. And this must be from one of the Petrulis girls, Maureen Thomas's daughter. That's all I can figure. It just says, you know, it's a thank you. Probably was Pastor Appreciation Day. I don't know. But it says, thank you, Pastor, for hiring my mommy. That's practical. Okay. Sam and Marion, what a blessing you both are. Thanks for all your leadership, work, support, and prayers. Each of you maintains such a Christ-centered peace in the midst of our trials that you make it easy for the rest of us to serve with joy. We really appreciate your ministry, and we are thankful for the friendships that we have developed. You're very special people in Christ, and it's Pete and Nancy Schultz. You remember them, right? Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to stop. You remember Norma Haber, right? So she writes, in August of 1997, we thank the Lord for both of you. Being a part of Grace has been the best years of our lives thus far, and our God of perfect matches has done it again. Now, this is when I was on my back again. What's gray, wears sneakers, and brings greetings of cheer. And you open it up, and it pops up. A get well-ophant. A get well-ophant. Get it? I'll explain it later. Dear Pastor Sam, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Pastor Wes and Pastor Malcolm are doing a great job in your absence, but we look forward to your return. Sincerely, Roy and Jean Davis. Right over there. A lot of you don't even remember sending these. But that's okay. I was on a conference a number of years ago. And Steve and Connie, you can help me with this one. So I went to a restaurant. I don't even remember what city it was in, but it was called Aubrey's. And so when I ate there, I stopped at the desk, and they had pens. So I think I got two pens for Aubrey Van Cleek. And so I gave them to her when I got back, and she was thrilled. So she wrote me a note. Dear Pastor Sam, thank you for the pen that you gave me. It was nice of you to think of me. From Aubrey. P.S. I wrote this thank you card with the pen that you gave me. So that was nice. This is very touching. Sometimes at the sermon, I think about you, I think about you, and not being there makes me thank God that it was His plan before the earth took form that we would meet and you would influence me and my kids. Thanks. Very straightforward. All right. Dear Sam, thank you for your devotion as a pastor and as a friend. Growing up, we moved every 1.5 years, thanks to the Navy. When our father retired, we settled in Colorado, yet my parents felt inspired to move 2 more times. I dreamed about planting roots and giving my children the chance to have childhood friends. Little did I realize how important a church family would be. Little did I realize a church family would be an integral part of that dream. Thank you for the commitment that you've made to our church and for guiding each one of us spiritually. Your patience and diligence have created roots for our children in their heart and soul. With gratitude and great fondness, don't want to embarrass you, but that's from Candace James. All righty. Finishing up, dear Pastors Anna and Marion, we were so sorry to miss the celebration of your 20 years at Grace. We understand it was a blessed and joyous occasion, and it would have been nice to have been in 2 places at one time. Lynn and I thank you for all the years of ministry, encouragement, care for the flock of us personally, and for sharing your lives with us. We can scarcely believe it has been 20 years. But then when you're older, it does seem to go faster, for us at least. I remember your kind visits during my shoulder recuperation and in the hospital, also the dinners so generously provided. We love seeing Christina and Danny grow up. Knowing it would have been difficult being a PK, that's a pastor's kid, but how they seem to glide so gracefully through it. Marion, you have been a dear encouragement to me many times. I remember so well that delicious chocolate birthday cake. It has been a joy to get to know you better through WOW and the Bethmore studies. May the Lord continue to bless you mightily. You're very special to us. And that's, of course, from Aline and Lynn Waters. Okay, I'm gonna wrap it up. There's a lot more here. So this is nice, a little booklet I got. We appreciate you. And it's just a book of different people writing full-page encouragements. And we remember that we used to have a newsletter, The Cross Examiner, back in November of 1998. They did an issue of The Cross Examiner just to encourage the pastors. That was its theme, and that was the only theme. There were some nice things there, too. March 17, 2002. Pastor Sam, Marion, Christina, and Danny. Dear folks, 12 years, how time does fly. So glad that you made the decision to come to Grace back in 1990. Thank you for all you've done these past 12 years, and I look forward to another 12 plus. My very best wishes to you all. In Christian love, Doris Smith. All right, there are so many more. I do want to share this. Three more. 4 more. 5 more. 6 more. Okay. Can I do 6 more? Okay. Yeah. Hold on. Okay. Okay, we'll do that one. All right. Yeah, there's a lot of good ones, but we'll do 7 more, okay? And that's not even looking at these. So, and I love this. None of us is as strong as all of us. I won't read that, it's too personal. Okay, here's a get well soon. Dear Pastor Sam, This is when my back was giving me trouble. Dear Pastor Sam, I've been praying for your back to feel better. Love, Billy Vetrano. P.S. You do good sermons. Thanks, Billy. I think you're about six at that time. Now, there's a lady in the church, and you won't find it hard to believe that she's very encouraging. And so, as we've been going through the Romans series, every once in a while, she'll just drop a full sheet of paper, 8.5 by 11. She writes really large on it. And let me just, I'll read two or three of them. These are samples. Dear Sam, that was a dandy sermon. Completely stuffed with scripture, you made it easy to imagine being there and the disciples hearing Jesus speak. That wasn't from Romans. Okay, Sam, that message rocked. Definitely one of the top five you've ever done. And then she got specific about what I handled. Okay, a major wink from God. I just used that parable in a conversation with a non-Christian friend with questions. Now I'm thinking, I need the CD of your message to really open it up. Yay, Sam, one of the best sermons, probably the best on that passage I've ever heard. Right out of the text and right into the hearts and minds of the hearers. Made me laugh and feel uncomfortable about my own hypocrisy simultaneously. Feel the reality of all this righteousness and all his love at the same time. Thanks. These are from Ann Davis. And you just saw from her sharing at the ministry moment, Ann's an encourager. Thanks, Ann. Okay, so this is from Hannah Fisher. And there's no date, but she had to be very young when she wrote this. She says, Dear Pastor Sam, P-A-S-T-E-R, so she was probably young. Last Sunday, I took notes on the sermon. It was my first time doing that. I wrote 2 pages. I read what I learned to my family. They loved it. I liked when you said, don't eat an elephant in one bite, eat it little by little. Actually, I said a bite at a time. All right. You can't eat an elephant in one bite, you eat it a bite at a time, but close enough. I thought that was hilarious. I learned to use my time and talents and treasures faithfully. I thank you so much for having that sermon. God bless you, Hannah Fisher. P.S., I'm going to take notes every Sunday. Did she? Never mind. And here's a poem. I don't usually get a lot of poems, but I got this poem October 1st, 1994. It's called The Cross, and there's a drawing of the cross. The cross was up on a dark night. When Jesus was hung, it was a dreadful sight. All the people from that town had on an upside-down smile. That's called a frown. It was sad to hear our Lord cry, now we all have to say goodbye. For in the Bible, God did say that Jesus would rise on the third day. Jesus took our sins away. That's why we have Easter Day. Written by Heather McKenzie, a budding poet. You must have been like 11 or something. Okay. Back in 1995, I had the privilege to go down to New Jersey and meet and hear Chuck Swindoll speak. He was speaking because of my seminary. He was there to do that. So we invited some big Chuck Swindoll fans who happened to be Jonathan and Sandy Fisher. Now, this is almost 20 years ago. So she wrote, I assume... No, Jonathan, you wrote this. Love and hugs? Okay. So, Dear Sam and Marion, what a wonderful time we had with you both at the DTS luncheon. The food, the ride, glad the car made it. The day, the book, the singing, and oh yeah, the speaker was pretty good too. He's talking about Swindoll. It has to be one of the high points of our lives, both spiritually and event-wise. I also don't think Sandy will be washing your hand where she touched Chuck for a couple of weeks. I think you got a signed book, didn't you? Didn't he sign a book for you? Okay. Anyhow, it was great. We count it a privilege to count you as our friends and are still in shock that you asked us to accompany you. quote, or parentheses, although it was probably the need for a car that motivated you. Always something. God sure is good, and he demonstrated his goodness through you both. Thanks. Love and hugs. Jonathan. Okay. So we had a 10-year anniversary, and so Rose pulled out a picture from the archives of when we were here for 5 years. It's pretty funny. I know the kids looked younger, but I look pretty much the same as I do now. Never mind. Dear Pastor Sam, we remember sharing with you this picture of your 5-year anniversary. Now, 5 years later, tonight's event is another milestone in all of our lives as we praise God for the 10 years that you and your family have served him at Grace Church. And that's from Rose. Thanks, Rose. And then last but not least, I don't even know how to categorize this. This is just, I don't know. It made me laugh. I could hardly stop laughing. So let me just tell you, it's from Bill Ryback. Okay, and he sent it to me December 2005. And again, don't try to figure out what it means or what category it goes into. I just thought it's just so Bill. And, you know, Bill's real. And this just shows you how real he is. So he says, "Dear Pastor Sam, while listening to your sermon last Sunday, a memory came to the fore. You were sharing about your mechanical skills, or rather, lack thereof, and I thought about my similar lack of skills. I was in New Paltz one cold winter day, doing some Christmas shopping. I returned to my car, and it wouldn't turn over. I was able to get a kindly fellow to jump my vehicle. I was determined to have my battery replaced at Sears the very next day, which I did. It was 9 o'clock at night when I returned home, pleased that the car had a new battery. Then my melancholic personality kicked into overdrive." We're both melancholic, so I appreciate that. "That attention to detail portion of it. For some reason, I needed to check if the battery was seated securely in its housing. I opened the hood, wiggled the battery, and it didn't seem secure enough to me. I found my toolbox, retrieved the ratchet set, needed an extension, and proceeded to tighten the nut. Satisfied, I went to lift the ratchet, only to have the extension detach and settle itself on the positive terminal, where it arc welded. Instantly, the large copper ground cable began to glow a bright orange. I began to panic and think the melancholic worst. I immediately opened the garage door, put the 1985 Chevy station wagon into neutral, and with the adrenaline flowing through my veins, pushed the wagon out of the garage. I grabbed a wooden peg and a large rubber mallet. I still had some presence of mind. And with the engine area still aglow and smoking, I proceeded to try to dislodge the metal extension. With much effort, I had success, and the orange glowing ceased. I was relieved, but again thought the worst. I had fried the electrical system. The car didn't start, so in the morning, my dad helped me tow the car to a local mechanic. After work, I stopped to get the word on the extent of the damage. Mercifully, the mechanic said nothing was damaged and charged me $5 for recharging the battery. There is a God. The car started up just fine. I had a trip to Massachusetts to make, visiting with my friend Roger Nielsen and his wife Karen, Melinda Nelson's brother. I had a safe and wonderful trip, I might add. I did, however, receive a new nickname, Destructo. I earnestly try to leave car maintenance to the mechanic now, remaining under the shadow of his wings, Bill. And then he has a P.S. I heard through the grapevine that you have a liking for flashlights. Not knowing if you have this particular one, I offer you the, quote, pocket bass to add to your collection. I tried to find this. I have it somewhere, but I couldn't find it. It's about this big, and it's a fish. And you push like it's gill, and the light comes on. And when I read that, I thought, no, Bill, I don't have a flashlight like that in my collection. Well, I hope I haven't bored you too much. There's a lot more to read, but I will spare you the rest. Let me go back over here, because I have a couple of things to wrap it up. Let me see where I am. Okay, so I'm going to close. And before I do, I would like to embarrass the rest of you that I haven't already embarrassed, possibly. But I want to mention, this is just me. This is just the way my brain works. I want to mention my top 50 encouragers in the time I've been at Grace Church for 25 years. I mentioned these 50 because I want to publicly commend them and publicly thank them for their support and words of encouragement. Some of these people have sent me so many written encouragements, they could have their own individual box over the years. The notes and the letters and the cards have meant so much to me over the years. I'll never forget the kindnesses because I have them right there. At least until I get old and feeble and start to drool and forget where I put the box. So I'm going to give you my list of 50, and I'm going to close with this. And this is not meant to slight anyone. If you're not on this list, it's not meant to slight you. But special recognition, by definition, can't include everyone. Right? Okay. So here's my top 50 encouragers for 25 years. Marty Ahrens, Shirley Ballantyne, Darla Barr, Sharon Bigler, Brian Bradley, Bernie Cruz, Ann Davis, Doris Davis, Jean Davis, Ken Davis, Roy Davis, Sharon Decker, Joe D'Alessio, Pauline D'Alessio, Tammy Fankhauser, Jonathan Fisher, Sandy Fisher, Brian Fox, Danny Forte, Susan Forte, Ellen Fuqua, Ellen Gassman, Hugh Greer, Candace James, Alice Littlefield, Kathy Martin, Craig Paquette, Tammy Paquette, John Rampe, Paula Rampe, Bianca Rell, Sandy Rouget, Bill Ryback, Joanne Schubert, Ruth Stuckey, Ted Suttmeyer, Nancy Schultz, Pete Schultz, Doris Smith, Barbara Taylor, Scott Taylor, Maureen Thomas, Jan Van Cleek, Trish Vetrano, Aline Waters, Bill Wispell, Marcia Woodley, Walter Woodley, Melinda Wright, Rich Wright. You can see they're in alphabetical order. For those on this list, most of them still here at Grace Church, some having moved on, and some in heaven. Thank you for your encouragement. It has been immensely encouraging to me. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank you for the privilege of being an encourager. We thank you for the blessing of being encouraged. May we be known, may we continue to be known as a church that encourages one another in fulfillment of your command. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your patience.